I was going to say good evening in that pause. Welcome, everyone, to the Late Night Restaurant Show. I'm Kenna's restaurant guy. My co-host just texted me and said, sorry, still at the bar. Are you kidding me again? Anyways, unfortunately, Dominic isn't going to be able to join us because he's at a bar. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to have fun tonight. We're going to have a great time on the Late Night Restaurant Show. We've got a great guest in here. He's got a great track record. I just was geeking out because he's a marketing dude, and nothing is better about that, talking about marketing on a Friday night, about hopefully some tips for restaurants and people in the industry on what to do. Oh, I got lots of questions when we talk about marketing because, holy cow, I think we all need a little help in that space. So anyways, before we get started tonight, we have to remind everyone about the National Restaurant Show that is coming up on May 18th to the 21st. You know what? Here's the bottom line. It's a great show. It's huge. There's 55,000 people are going to be there. 900 product categories, not products, category of products. That probably means there's going to be thousands and thousands of products there for you to check out. Now, if you go to the website and you go to nationalrestaurantshow.com and you register, you can only get this deal if you register online at Podcast 24, all big letters, capital letters, and things is what they say, and you will save $55 off, so you can go grab a Starbucks after and a couple Starbucks. I don't know if they cost that much in the U.S., but in Canada, that would be three, maybe four Starbucks. Anyways, I always beat up on Starbucks because we love you. Anyways, May 18th to the 21st in Chicago at the McCormick Place. I didn't say center, Dominic, which he would correct me right about there. Anyways, it's going to be a great show tonight. Go to the National Restaurant Show in Chicago. But before you do that, watch our show tonight or listen to our show, which is not a podcast. Don't think it's a podcast. It hangs out with all the other podcasts on Spotify and Apple. But ours is not a podcast because there's better podcasts out there, I guess. I shouldn't say that when you have a guest on, because they probably go like, what the heck am I doing here? They say it's not that good. Anyways, we're going to roll this intro. Then we have our guest in here. And Justin, it's going to be a fun night. Anyways, here we go. We'll be right back after this. Step my game. Step my game. There you go, Justin. Welcome to our show tonight. I am sorry Dominic is at a bar.
Unbelievable.
I know. I don't get it.
It's crazy. Like, next thing he's going to text you in traffic. He wants you to pick up the tab. That's what he's going to
say. Exactly. Like that, or like he could say, you know, I'm stuck in traffic. My parakeet died. I don't know, something, but like he just laid it out. I'm in a bar. You're not important, Jay. I think that's the part that it missed. Anyways, so you know what, Justin? I don't know how to say your last name, but can you please let us know how to say your last name? So you say it. I don't want to say it.
Yeah, man. It's Krivanik. Justin
Krivanik. That's a cool name.
Thanks, man. It's a Czech name. I feel like I've heard Krivanik. I've heard a lot of Krivanik. Krivanik's another popular one, but
yeah, Krivanik. That's a cool name.
Thanks, man.
That almost goes kind of with the whole marketing kind of background you have.
You think so?
I think it does. I think your name says marketing. I don't know. Just to me, it sounds like that.
What's wrong with it?
You have a company called Tailwind. Is that right? Marketing?
Yeah. Tailwind Marketing Shop.
I love how you say shop. Okay. First of all, tell us a little bit about Tailwind, what you do, and all the cool stuff, because you have some incredible history in you. And we're going to get down into marketing because I'm a marketing geek, if you don't know.
Yeah.
But I love when I get to talk to professional marketers because there's so many bloody questions for you.
Bring it on, man. I mean, first, let me just say thanks so much for having me. I'm super pumped to talk to you. You know, I'll hold it against Dominic for the rest of my life, but it's all good. it's all good. But no, super pumped to be here. Tailwind is, I call it a shop because honestly, the word agency, it rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I've worked with a lot of agencies over the years. And I feel like at the end of the day, it's like what pops into my head is loving the pitch and loving talking about the work, but not necessarily doing the work. And shop made me really feel like this is about doing the work. This is about getting, you know, down and dirty and helping, you know, our clients or restaurants in any way that we can. So Tailwind Marketing Shop is really focused on digital strategy. And I think usually, you know, when either in the restaurant space, but in any industry, to be honest, you kind of start with a tactic. Like you feel like, man, I should be doing social media advertising. Or I should be doing Google ads or whatever it might be. You start with the tactic, but you know, Tailwind is really about kind of asking the why. It's like, what, why Google ads? Is it because your competitor is doing it? Is it because you feel like you have to do it? And then that's where the conversation kind of begins around who's your audience? I mean, what's unique about what you're offering? And then from there, like, let's, and also what's working, like what's working already for you right now. Let's build off of all of that and kind of create a cohesive strategy that makes you feel really proud in the digital space, that shows off your product and kind of builds it up. But that's the short and sweet kind of version.
You know, you couldn't come on at a better time. Because I was literally talking with a restaurant yesterday that has multi-locations, and they were asking me all about the digital, their digital presence and what they should be doing and everything else. Holy cow, great timing. This is perfect. I should have told them to watch, but I'll send them a video and stuff. But we'll try to answer some of the questions because they had a lot of great questions. Yeah. And I have them here. This is great. I can't believe it. Oh, they're going to love it. You know what? They have a great restaurant. They have a great brand. They got a phenomenal location. They've got some bright colors. I love what they're doing. And I think what I find, and please help. Oh, we need your helps. Is that there is this thing that so many restaurateurs that I've been meeting with numerous times, they just don't know anything about social, and it's not their fault. And no one is blaming them. They just, no one, well, half of them didn't go to like to restaurant school because no one doesn't really exist. It definitely wasn't restaurant marketing school, and definitely not social media restaurant marketing school. Yep. So we need your help. And so I don't know how many questions we have here, but might be a long show. Thank God Dominic isn't here. He just messed up. So this is good. So where do you start? Okay. So you're sitting with a couple of guys, they're looking at their restaurant. They want to get their message out there and they want to tell people how great their stuff is. They're about to hire a great social media person, but they don't come cheap. We know that.
Yep.
They typically don't. What do you do? What do you say to them? What's your first step?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question. And I feel like it for me is always about asking questions when I first sit down. So, I mean, I spent 6 years working directly with franchisees and building, you know, local marketing plans for franchisees. And then ultimately overseeing the national media budget and what we were doing from a national media perspective. But at the end of the day, like everything gets real inside the restaurants. So it's like, what has worked for you? Like, what are some of the things that you're excited about right now? What do you have planned? Like, I start with those just general questions to understand, is there somewhere that you're already kind of building momentum? And maybe the restaurant is kind of downplaying that a little bit. They don't realize just how much momentum they're building in that specific area. Mm. But if it is true, then there's an opportunity to build off of that before we launch into a completely different tactic, before we get distracted by kind of the next thing. So I always start with questions. I feel like usually how those conversations go is, we used to do that and it worked really well. And then I always followed up with, well, why'd you stop? And it's like, hey, you know, we got busy or something changed or something else came up.
If you're attending the National Restaurant Show in 2024, you know what? It's incredible. Whether you're looking to adapt your offerings right now in your restaurant to really create that unique dining experience for your customers. You know what? Also, if you're like everyone else, navigating these razor-thin margins and integrating these, you know, the next era when it comes to solutions to offset the labor challenges that we're hearing about. Take it from me, Canada's restaurant guy, Jay Ashton. The show has everything you need to plate up the success for you, for your operation. See tomorrow's ideas come to life at this event and find the inspiration you're looking for the next big concept. And you know what? The floor at this event, so they call it the show floor, has 900 product categories from award-winning food and beverage items, innovations back of the house, and technology is all going to be there. So you know what? Join your peers at the show in Chicago, May 18th to the 21st, and get a taste of the future. The official website is www.nationalrestaurantshow.com and registers with promo code podcast24. Save $55 off the current registration rate. So you know what? I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. Let's all be there because this is going to be the event of the year.
So it's like there's something to follow there. There's a thread to follow. Like that worked well for you guys. Let's kind of pick that apart. But then it's like, you know, if you are working with a group where specifically social media is like, it's a box that they have to check and that they want to build on, and rightfully so. Like it's so important as people continue to eat with their eyes and spend so much time on those platforms. Then from there, I think it's like realistically, what can you accomplish on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis on social media that you're proud of? Because I think it's immediately, you know, you start kind of comparing yourself to what's out there. You start comparing yourself to people who are doing it really well, potentially with a much bigger budget than what you have. And you have to recognize kind of the lift that's required from a content creation perspective. And you can't just believe like, once we start this, we're going to be good to go. It's like, who's going to be in the restaurant kind of shooting that footage? Yeah. Like, what are you going to capture? So it really starts with a ton of questions, Jay, and just kind of, you know, figuring out like, what are you after? And then from there, it's like, all right, let's narrow in on how we make that a reality and how we build on it.
Do you, so the two gentlemen that I met with, this is a new location.
Okay.
And they're both new locations, beautiful. Like they're just stunning locations, busy. And it was funny because when I was in there and they were kind of, you know, looking at me for the answers, which is, you know, hopefully I gave them some good ones and we're going to connect again. But I said, turn around. And the restaurant was really busy. I think it was like between 2 and 3. And it was busy. And that's typically not normal at that time to be busy. So it tells me they have a great product. Yeah. But I said, turn around. And everyone that was in the room, first of all, the demographics is probably that 20 to 30 range, maybe a little younger even. But I said, turn around. And everyone in the restaurant had their phone. Even if they were sitting with someone, they were looking at a phone. And it was like, look at that. That's the connection that you have. So one of the things that I brought up, because obviously cost comes in, like what should we, what, and I'm going to ask you this question because this is a question they asked me and hopefully I answered it right. And I apologize if your number is different than mine. but how much do you spend on social media marketing today as a restaurant? Like, what is it, a percentage of, like, of your sales? Like, what is it? Like, how much do you spend?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's different for every restaurant, but like, I do think, you know, thinking about it from a percentage of sales perspective is, you know, a good way to look at it when, you know, cause you're already doing that with your marketing budget as a whole. So you're looking at your marketing budget as a percentage of sales, and then you're looking at percentage of your marketing budget that's dedicated towards, you know, paid advertising on social media and what you're doing there. So I think it's a good way to cut it up, but it also depends. Like if you're doing a lot of events at your restaurant, if you're doing a lot of things that really require, you know, promotion ahead of time in short periods of time where you really need to get kind of a strong reach, you might be spending a bit more, but you know, you have the upside of those events depending on what the cover charge is, or I just think there's a lot of variables on how that goes. Yeah. But I think for the most part, it's like, yeah, take a percentage of your sales. And from there, it's, you know, make sure depends on your check average as well. It's like, make sure that something there makes sense for how many people you're believing you're going to drive into the restaurant, or, you know, number of butts in seats that you think you're going to have based off of that campaign. But
okay. So do you campaign it out then, Justin? Would you say then you campaign it out? Sure. Okay. Here's this month, we're going to run this campaign. Because here's, I might have did something right then. So I'll just show you my graph. There's my line in the meeting. If, I don't know if they're watching. I think the one gentleman might be, Rob might be watching. But anyways, this is the graph that I showed of what I said.
I love
and
it.
Why, and what I said, and this is what I do. And like I said, I'm not a genius in marketing, but I've been in marketing and helped market at the largest food company in the world. But in the brand guy, but I don't know. Like, I still like want to learn more and more. I love it so much. But I did this. See this here?
Yeah.
That's where I said, I always start at the end game. And I don't know if this is right. And this could be on campaigns as well. What's your end goal? And that's, I think, what you said, Justin, what the questions were. What's your end goal? And I always do this when I coach restaurants, is I always go to the very end and go, what do you want to do? What's the end goal here? Is it make more money? Is it, you know, have a get a few more people in the restaurant? Like, what's the end goal? Because as soon as we know what that goal is, we can kind of work backwards.
That's right.
And I don't know if that's right, if that's what I should have said, but I've always done that. And it seems to get them looking at what that end part is, right? So,
yeah.
Is that right?
Well, I think it is. Like, I think that's what's, like, ultimately, it's like, you want to create a strategy that aligns with your business goals. And that's what you're getting to. You're like, what is the end goal that we're after here? And it can change over time. Like, think about recent conversations that I've had around like non-alcoholic beverages and like mocktails, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's like, you spend this time creating this, you know, great NA cocktail list, and then nobody knows about it. So you actually want to use that to access a new audience, or to potentially retain an audience that, you know, was yours at some point, but their behaviors have changed. So how are you going to like promote that and think about that as, you know, a layer within your existing brand? Like, it's not like you're going off and creating a whole new restaurant, but you took time, you invested dollars into, you know, making that menu creation. And now you need to share that with an audience that's interested in it. But I feel like it is, I mean, a digital strategy, I say this all the time too, is like, it's so many different components, and you can easily, everybody does, get distracted by, you know, all those different pieces. And sometimes the answer is really just simplify. It's like, hey, let's focus on these three things that are most closely aligned with the business goal that we're after. And we'll know that these other ones will bake into it, or kind of, you know, build on it in the future. Let it do that.
Okay, so we have lots of questions here. I just my neighbors are loud tonight. Anyways, I do want to so social media. Okay, we're gonna get into so many more questions here. Platforms, restaurants. This is the second most questions I get all the time when it comes to social or digital content. What platforms, Justin? What platforms do restaurants go on? get it too, right? You get that?
Oh, of course. Of course. And again, I think it comes back to realistically, like, how much content are you able to create? Or do you have someone, you know, in the role that's going to continue to create that? Are you working with a partner that's going to help you do it? But I think Instagram and TikTok are the two that people really need to be thinking about. Not to ignore Facebook, especially the paid opportunities, you know, with Facebook, there's still a lot.
Is paid good on Facebook?
Yeah. Like, I think in terms of like reach and depending on who your audience is, like, yeah, there's absolutely like.
Now, would you pay? Sorry to interrupt. I get so many questions. I get excited. Man. So pay on Facebook is okay. Paid ads.
Yeah.
What about paid ads paying on TikTok?
Paid ads on TikTok?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, like, I haven't done a ton of that, but I've you know, been reading articles on it, and I've seen like a lot of success from what's being built there. And I think it is a great opportunity, but I haven't worked directly with a client who's like, I think doing it really well and like, you know, spending money on an ongoing basis. on TikTok. It's always been organic content and then kind of letting the algorithm do the work, which they have a ton of success with that you almost like say, like, I don't know if you need to spend money on
TikTok. Yeah.
You're already kind of rolling.
Do you believe that if you do the right things, and trust me, there's a list, it feels like there's a list of posting and doing different things on social. And there's like, you do this and this week it's video and next week, okay, you got to do this. Like, it just changes all the time.
Yeah.
We have a question here too coming in. So we'll get to that question in a second here, but okay. I almost lost my train of thought. There's so much here. Okay. So TikTok, one, I have done a paid ad on TikTok to test it.
Yeah.
Insane.
Worked and like a charm.
Sorry?
It worked well, you're saying?
Oh, 10 times, like maybe even 50 times better. Nice. It was crazy. The numbers just shot up, but they shot up fast.
Yeah.
The length that they were sitting on too, the videos, were longer. It was more engagement, was higher. It was really good. It was really good. And it wasn't even close to how much Facebook or Google ads or even YouTube will suck out of you, because I find that they got me good.
Yeah.
I was spending between 7 to 15,000 a couple of years ago a month. And they were really drinking you hooked hard. And I want to say this, and Justin, please jump in on this, because this is one thing, and I want to get to this question here in a second, is what I noticed as well, and I wish YouTube would do this, because I want to tell everyone this, because maybe a lot of people don't think of this, but I thought of this the other day, because I'm guilty of it, but I also haven't done it in about 2 years. I wish, so I'm okay. I wish YouTube would tell you where the viewership comes from.
Yeah.
On their video views. Because I don't know if a lot of people know that if you tag certain locations in the world or you geotag a video on YouTube, your numbers will go up like ridiculously huge and ridiculously fast.
Interesting.
Because YouTube is a global brand, like it's a global position. So I could tag Mexico City and I could use a few keywords in the description that drives more viewership within Mexico City.
Right.
A lot more people in Mexico City than in Canada, right? So you would tag those big centers that didn't have any, like, it didn't make a difference in your circle of influence of driving sales growth within your restaurant, but it made your numbers look phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we did that one year, and I think we reached 7 million people that year. But were they in Canada? Most of them weren't in Canada. It was in U.S., Mexico. We had some over in different countries, Europe, those things. I'm on a poster somewhere in some country. Exactly. Right. So I wish they described that, because a lot of people, and I say this to get to my point on social, is a lot of people will look at those numbers on social platforms from likes and looks or views or TikTok views, all these things, and they determine the success of that person or that campaign sometimes just off of those numbers.
Yeah.
And then sometimes people charge other people based on those numbers without clearly asking the right questions when they're hiring someone, or, you know, I could have sold things like crazy with 7 million people, but I was always hoping, okay, don't ask where they are from, because you know, it's not Canada. That's so crazy. I just wish that I wish more and more people would understand that, because also they think that you're the next Mr. Beast because of the numbers. And I think when you look at the numbers that you're generating through social, even if it's on TikTok or Instagram, Facebook or LinkedIn, even to get up, like, I think Sean Walshev said this. I always say he's like the grand poobah of our industry.
He's awesome.
I don't know if it was him, but someone said to me recently, like, 500 people is a lot of people.
Yeah.
If you get 500 people in a room, that's a big room full of people that's listening to your message or whatever it is. So sometimes it's not the 5,000 people that you're looking to get. It's 500 people that, you know what, I take that as a win.
Yeah.
And people, I think, are looking at some of these celebrities or these YouTubers or influencers that get these big numbers, first of all, question where they're from, question the growth rate that they're getting them from. Ask those questions if you're getting, you know, you're hiring someone within your restaurant. Look at look at them, but don't determine the full success of what they're doing based on those numbers, because you can manipulate the game, let's say.
I agree. And I think it's like so well said, because I mean, everything that's required to run and market a restaurant is like, when you think about the technology, you think about all these different pieces, like it's all way more complicated than it had been in the past. And I feel like you have so many different pieces that, as it's gotten more complicated, I think continue to fall in this broad bucket that's called marketing, like for restaurants. And it like falls in this bucket. It's like, well, marketing responds to reviews. Well, marketing does this, and this bucket continues to grow and grow and grow. And then when you're stretched for time, or when you're stretched on your budget, you start painting with a broad brush, and like you start thinking that like, hey, I have a good enough understanding of what's going on here. And that's where I think, you know, pretty critical mistakes, going back to what you were saying, can happen, where it's like, man, these numbers look awesome, but in reality, the targeting was like completely off, and there's not someone to kind of dive into that, maybe walk through it with that restaurant owner, that marketing manager, whatever it might be. And the same is true about adding new tactics. Like, I wrote a blog post about this at one point, because it was just like, there's always this allure of adding something new. And if I need to continue growing, I need to add something new, when in reality, and in working with clients, I've seen it time and time again. It's like, there's inefficiencies within the existing things that you're paying for, like on a monthly basis, that you know, can be either cut loose for good because you're not using them anymore, or we can revisit those and we can make sure that you're extracting value, you know, from that before we go chasing kind of the next thing. But again, when you're feeling that pressure, I get it, like rent's increasing, like, you know, cost of goods are increasing, you're feeling all these things, like, I gotta be up over last year, I gotta be up over last month, like, you start questioning those channels, and then you potentially make that mistake of like painting with a broad brush, believing you know something about it that you don't actually. And that's where, you know, going back to what you were saying too about being a marketer, it's like, you're always learning. Like, technology's always changing. Like, nobody is a professional except for maybe a second in time. And then it's like, you gotta keep on growing. You gotta keep on figuring out what's next.
Well, let's ask that question, because I don't want to ask all social questions to you, but do you find then marketing is shifting a lot in the industry right now? Well, like, what's working right now on getting people? Because one of the top things right now, and if you don't know, people don't know this in the industry, we should maybe check out, is you need foot traffic. How are we driving foot traffic right now into restaurants with marketing?
Yeah, I feel like it's, I think it's coming back to brand. It's like coming back to like, what is it that you stand for as a brand? And what is it about the experience in person that, you know, really kind of brings that to life for me, or adds a level to it that I don't experience when I'm ordering that to go, or when I'm ordering that online? I think brand is a really big thing. Like, we all recognize brands that we love for the reason of like, they caught our attention. They stand for something that we stand for. And like, though, that storytelling and like that true kind of commitment to who you are is, I think, what people are using to make a decision of, am I going to go here, or am I going to go there, or am I going to, you know, stay home, be loyal to that brand at a distance, but still make the trip next week and, you know, actually be in that experience. I think that's a really big one, Jay, is just that storytelling and that kind of like brand feel.
How important is humanizing brands today?
I think it's absolutely critical to like make people. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, it's a good answer, because I just said that to our president yesterday. So keep going.
No, I think it's critical. Like, I mean, especially, I don't know, we could go down a rabbit hole talking about AI and like, you know, how continues to push forward, like the need for personalization, the need for being human will continue to be like top currency, top value item that people are looking for. And I think, you know, there's been some amazing brands like over the years that I think have like kind of paved the way for a way to do it. And, but now you like, I think from e-com brands to restaurant brands, like you have people finding all these unique and creative ways to kind of show off who they are, show off their commitment to who they want to be now and going forward. And I just think it's like, it's absolutely critical to continue to be like a competitor in the space, to humanize the brand and to, you know, you got to walk the talk. Like you can't just say it, you can't just put it on your to-go packaging or something and think that like, man, this is who we are. You have to bring it to life in the experience, ongoing communications, like where you show up, when you show up, like personalization, all those things are just absolutely critical. But the other I would say is data. Like, I mean, data is such a like boring
word. Oh God, this is good.
It's such a boring word, but like to get butts in seats, like it's about uncovering data and making it actionable for driving that select group in. Like, make sure you're targeting the right message to the people who want to come into your restaurants. And people who have kids, is like, but uncover that data and build on that.
Do you find here? I'm going to ask this question because, and then we'll get into more than the data talk. Because I'm so glad you brought that up, because I find a lot of let's say restaurants need to maybe look at data. I'm going to say a lot of big corporations are looking at data today to make some critical decisions. But do you think Dave from Wendy's was a genius and the Colonel? Because they were really the big brands within the food service space before it became a buzzword many, many years ago. Right? Those are icons. Like, we knew who they were, right? Like, they humanized. They humanized fast food when you think about it. McDonald's tried and they brought the poor, what was his name? The clown dude. Ronald. Ronald, right? But that was a little, maybe they didn't hit the mark on that. But I noticed that Walmart's doing this right now with their CEO. And he's coming out, and he was on a podcast with Simon Sinek not that long ago.
Nice.
And I just think that there's opportunity for brands, especially restaurants. In these cities and these smaller towns, have an opportunity, if they haven't already, and most of them probably already have a brand position of the owner that owns this restaurant. But in a city that you have it, I think there's opportunity there. I really do. I think you got to take a lesson from the Daves of the world, from Wendy's.
But they walk the talk, like they did, and that's easier said than done. Again, like I think it's like, it's simple to understand that you need to do it, but it's not easy to accomplish it
because
it requires, you know, a full blown commitment. And I worked with a company for a while that would always talk about, you know, servant leadership and the fact that it's often thought about, you know, as a pyramid. There's somebody at the top, your CEO, whoever it might be, and then, you know, everything comes down and expands out, when in reality, servant leadership is turning that pyramid on its head. It's the CEO, you know, or the owner, whoever it may be, that is truly kind of living those values on a day-to-day basis. And by doing that, is kind of like infusing that passion and that, you know, I don't know, like every bit of that into the team. And then ultimately, that's what comes to life. And I think that's what it takes. And again, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. But I think those guys did it. Like, I don't know if genius is the first word that would come to mind for me, but I think it's like, commitment.
I don't think they intended that. I don't know if they did.
I agree. Yeah.
Like I think it was just accidental, but it's a good learning as you go forward. Like, I remember I was young in the 80s, Dave was still around and he would be on the commercials. Right. Yeah. And he brought that father, the brand, into like that look and that feel of a father telling you that, you know, his burgers are the best, or he's that guy. And then his daughter, and he brought that family attachment into the family. And I think the Colonel probably did some, he's a little bit older in that space, but I don't see brands necessarily doing that in our food space anymore. And I think there's opportunity there, right? Like, I think, I don't know if that's another move that they're going to make. But I just think there's an opportunity there. And I know some of them can't because maybe it's like a board, but Like, I just think there's an opportunity.
I think of Firehouse Subs Is it?
Oh yeah.
Like Firehouse Subs. Like I feel like he's kind of front and center on some of that stuff, but still probably not the best example when comparing to
Shake Shack.
Shake Shack. Yeah.
Yep. You know, these are brands I think that are getting understanding that, and I think it's powerful as a marketing, you know, move. And I want to ask this next question to you: is how important is authenticity? We've seen this buzzword now for the last couple of years.
Yeah,
I've been preaching about it for a while. How important is being authentic within your content?
I mean, it feels like one of those things when you say it out loud that it just feels so damn obvious. It's like,
no, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like, don't bullshit your customer. Okay, cool.
It's all good food. All
right. Oh, thanks. That's a no-brainer. Don't use shitty graphics. Okay, cool. Thanks. Like, I mean, it just feels like one of those things. But what I will say is I have been the marketer on the side of you're kind of faced with that moment where I'm trying to think of like a good example. It's like where you could kind of have a smart quip back to like a review that was written or a comment that was made on your social and you hesitate because you're just like, I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. And I don't want it to, you know, come across as like me being, you know, a jerk in any way, but it feels on brand for me to say this right here, right now. And there are brands who commit to that and do such a great job with it. And I've absolutely felt that like pressure in real time before where I'm like, this feels like being authentic, but I have to step back because like, I'm just not ready to take this like leap or I feel like it could go the wrong direction. But yeah, it's the commitment to it that in being authentic and
I find it weird telling people to be themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like in the marketing space, like I'll get that asked a lot. I'll be like, just be yourself, talk from the heart and go for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like it's weird, but like you said, it's so obvious sometimes. You know, I think one of the big brands out there, I saw one, I think it was Coke that did the holiday commercial where they tried to get as real as they could and authentic as they could in a commercial. And I thought it was brilliant. They had a little bit, I think they had a little bit, maybe too much product placement, but, and you could see, I'll tell you this.
I've seen it. I'm trying to remember.
Have you seen it? Oh, please look it up. It's great.
I'll look it up.
Look it up. But what I say is because you can actually see, I don't know, I see it because I used to live it, but you could see that the creative guy said, let's do it this way. But you still had the board that said, no, let's do it this way.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could see which part of the commercial was board driven and which was the creative job. That's the way I looked at it. I'm like, okay, yeah, the board said, you got to show the Coke bottle still. You know, like that kind of thing. And then the creative guy's like, yeah, but we need them to do this and that and this and that. And
that's amazing.
Okay. And they're like, yeah, but you still have to show the six pack. You know, like... you could see that. I saw that when I saw him. Like, okay, that's when he lost that argument. They didn't. And I think that's what I find fascinating about marketing today is that I find it cheaper because you can shoot. And we learned this from, like I said, the godfather of our industry in social media, Sean. You can shoot stuff from your phone.
Yeah,
you can pull it out of anywhere in a sense and just create content. How important is content still king?
I definitely think content is king. I think we're digesting content 24/7. And I think at this point, we don't even realize like that we're digesting content, like because we're just exposed to so much. I think it takes that authentic kind of message or that maybe shaky camera and semi bad quality to sometimes shake you out of like, man, this is something that someone took time to make and is a message that resonates with me. It just kind of makes you stop. Like I think about Kanye West, like Super Bowl commercial and like just filming that on his phone and just going for it. Like that's wild to make that move, but man, you stop dead in your tracks and you're just kind of like, man, this is something different. This is something that really stands out. So I think content is king, but we have plenty of it. Like there's so much mediocre / crap content that's out there that it's so like, go ahead.
Do you think, so I was just going to ask this, sorry to interrupt my ADHD. Yeah. I'm so excited. Like, I get like marketing. Is that, do, first of all, thank you, Dominic, for not showing tonight. It's a job for him. Is how important, okay, let's go back to that point there. How important is the quantity over the quality? Okay, so if I have a commercial, I'm in a restaurant, and I said, you know what, let's grab your phones. You do a post. Let's do a video of you talking about, not even you talking about, you're interviewing someone about their experience or whatever it is. It's something different. And it's very creative, but it's kind of done on a phone. Is that powerful, or is it more powerful to make it nice and shiny, go hire someone and do one video instead of maybe doing 10 because it costs so much? What's the best form? Like, what's the best thing to go towards?
Again, at the risk of like painting with a broad brush, I think it comes back to like, who's your audience. But then I would say, then you have to think about frequency. Like, it's like, how often are people going to see it? And if I can, I think that's a conversation I have a lot too. It's like, we want to believe that we just wrote this perfect email or that we just made this perfect social media post. And then by putting it up one time or sending it one time, everyone's going to read it and get it. But it's like, in reality, it needs to be 7 or 8 touches. Like, so I would come back to like, if the video quality feels right as something that's, you know, really well produced, really sound, really put together, or, you know, if it's more like lower quality, but it feels, you know, true to the brand, it feels true to the audience that you're talking to, then it's like about frequency. It's like, how can I make this worthwhile? And how can I, in terms of the production costs or the production time, to make sure that enough people are going to see it? Because again, I think that's where like great ideas, great pieces of content fall short, because it's just seen as like, man, it didn't work. It didn't take off the way I wanted it to. It's like, well, did you give it an honest shot of like putting some budget behind it? Or did you get distracted with something else where, you know, you ended up stealing spotlight from the one thing you wanted to focus on for the next 30 days or 45 days, whatever it might be? And like, those are the constant challenges. It's not to say that anybody's like doing something wrong in that moment. It's just, that's the world we live in, especially as marketers. Like, you're just constantly pushing and pulling from like, oh, we got another good idea over here, or we have another activation over here. We need to make sure that we give it some attention. And in trying to kind of spread the wealth, sometimes you just end up dulling. You kind of dull everything, and it gets tough.
I say from the experience that we had with our shows, we went with quantity. I'm sure we could have polished and cut and added and everything else. I felt that because of who we were, like you said, your audience, I had to get tons out there and to inject a brand into the space that really wasn't done before. And that was where I was like, okay, I'm competing with a hell of a lot more smarter people, way cooler people, and celebrities and everyone else in this space. I'm going to have to go, like, you kind of, like you said, you kind of go down the plan. Okay, well, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
Am I just going to be par, or am I going to go for the top? Of how am I going to get to the top? Okay, we're going to have to look at the quality, but we're also going to have to look at the quantity. And then will we give like a 75% quality, and then we'll go with 100% quantity? Will that give us the numbers that we're looking for, like the show format, so, or the show strength and stuff? So we went that way. It worked for us, but I do find some restaurants really don't know those answers. And I think that's, like you said at the very beginning, sit down, ask those questions, go through what your goals are, strategize. How hard is it? Like, what do you do? Because you have companies out there with creative directors, creative people. And you have a restaurateur there goes, I just need to get the message out through social media. Where do they get their ideas from without having to pay someone for them?
Yeah, I think I find restaurateurs are so creative. Like, I mean, they're just, I feel like they're creative in, you know, creating a menu, creating a great experience, you know, creative in how they engage people and build off of that. I think they're observant. They see what other people are doing. They see what, you know, brands that they admire. That's a question I ask a lot of the times when I'm talking to a client is, you know, what are brands that you admire? And then we talk about why they admire them. And then we ask, like, you know, oh, how does that resonate, you know, for you in terms of your business? Like, do you feel like that's something that you're after? Do you feel like that's something that would bode well for your business? Again, just asking kind of tons of questions. But then from there, I think it's like, I think you do have to have, like, whether it's conversations with your team, it's conversations with personal audiences, but like, you can kind of garner ideas there. But then the owner or the person most closely involved with the business, I feel like, is usually a good barometer for, man, does this feel right for us? Like, that's a cool idea, but I don't know if that's right for us. And sometimes you got to push a little. Sometimes you got to say, like, hey, but look at it this way. And that's, you know, an opportunity to kind of present the facts and the data around it. But I feel like, I don't know, I'm an eternal optimist, and I feel like we're all creatives. Like, honestly, like, I think we're all.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
In some way, it's just maybe you struggle to articulate it, or maybe you struggle.
You have to work it too, Justin. You got to work that other side of the brain, right?
You're right. You're right.
You got to work it. And if it's no different than, like, I have like, you know, the business sense side, but I have the creative side. And if I work the creative side too much, the business side kind of goes a little numb.
Yeah.
And a lot of very creative people will just stay on one side, and then, you know, they don't work the business sides enough. And I'm guilty of that. I have been through that. Right. And then you see a lot of people, like restaurateurs, that will focus so much on the business side. When you say creative, they're like, huh? Like, they just don't, they haven't worked that at all.
Yep.
So I agree with you. I think you need to work. Like, you need to make mistakes. You need to take risks and try something. You just don't know.
Totally. And pull apart ideas. Like, an already created idea, pull it apart. Like, how did they get there? What was in that? Because I used to, like, I say all the time, you know, marketing looks really fun from the outside when you're looking at a finished commercial. But if you were on set for that commercial, you'd be like, this is hell.
Exactly. Exactly.
We just did that shot like four times or 40 times. Like, nobody wants to say these lines anymore. It's been a long day. Like, all that kind of stuff just falls in the background. But, like, you have to be intentional and, like, thoughtful through that process. And pulling that apart is helpful.
I remember doing a line for a podcast I did for a company. And we had, like, producers from CBC up here. It's a broadcasting network up here. And they made me do it, I think, 20 some times, one line. And I could probably tell you what it is if I thought about it for a second.
Bring it on. What is it?
No. I can't. It was just over and over and you just wanted to just die. And then you had to kind of psych yourself up every time when they would say, go. Right? And you'd be like, oh, yeah.
The words don't even make sense anymore.
Exactly. Like, you know, they don't. And then you end up screwing up on the simplest words, right? You just can't do it. Two more questions here.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Hell yeah.
I just wanted to, like, what's kind of like the most common kind of marketing question that you've been getting recently, like in your conversations with restaurant owners? Not necessarily social media related, but just in general, like, what are you getting the most?
Two.
Okay.
Two, why do I have to do social media still?
Got it.
Okay. And then the second one, why do you keep asking me to do podcast as a restaurant? Right? Because those are two things that I believe that we need to do up. I believe every restaurant needs a podcast. I look at podcasting as one of the last, and I look at podcasting a little bit different than almost like I look at third party delivery.
Yeah.
I look at third party delivery. I might be the only guy on the planet. I look at Uber Eats and DoorDash and those guys.
Of course.
I look at them as not a profit generator. I know everyone's like, huh? I look at them as a marketing channel.
Yep. That's
what they are. To me, don't think that you're going to make a lot of money on it. You get a little. So it's actually kind of a good marketing channel, because then you can see the results based on what your dollars are. that you're making off of it, but use it as a marketing channel for your business, not as a prime revenue stream, because then you get mad and then you put evil things out there and we complain about it. So that's the way I look at that. Now, yeah. I look at podcast as actually one of the last pure channels left unless someone's come up with something that is pure and as strong as spending 30 to 40 some minutes or 50 or an hour with someone in your ears talking about stuff, but you're still got their brand on your phone.
Yeah.
I think it is. And then you can manipulate, it's the wrong word. You can guide them in the discussion and the topic of what you're doing. It's almost like social media was when it first came out, on how you own social media, you own the space that you lived in or owned or business or whatever category, right, whatever it was. I believe in the podcast space. Like right now I'm influencing about 14.4% of the Canadian market in food service and what I say. I do. Just me. Amazing. Right? But yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's power in that. Yeah. So I believe restaurants can have a podcast because, one, they have a million stories. They're incredible people. They're creative and they're innovative and they've got challenges. It's like the perfect book for a podcast. And then you have people constantly coming into your restaurant, which tells me you have an audience too, right? Yeah. Like, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
So I think everyone needs one. And you have to build a plan around it and you have to build a strategy. There's a place in New York that's got one. We're opening one up here in Edmonton soon. We've got a few more that are hopefully coming out, one in Calgary too, but I believe that they all need one. And it's more than it's because the only problem is right now within that space is the technical side of it. So we're working on some stuff right now to get rid of that technical part, where you don't need the cameras or the mics, yeah, and stuff, that you can just record off your phone. And next thing you know, you have a podcast and how do you get that out there? So we need to create, like we're working on some stuff here to make sure that people can do that. But I think there's opportunity and I think people, storytelling, like you said, you ever sit with a restaurateur and say, tell me about how you got into this business. And then 4 hours later, they're still going, right? Like, and you're like in tears, and then you went through like the time that they had to live out of their car, and you know they had lost all their money. This is their third restaurant. Like it's incredible stories, and we're losing those. And so those two, and then the other question that I said was marketing and why do I have to do social media? That's the other one.
Yeah.
And then I look at I spend a lot of time listening to Gary Vee, trying to get Gary Vee on the show. Gary, is that
he's on right now.
Exactly. I take a lot of what he's doing, that like I look at his shows, his podcasts, so like they're raw like mine, and I take that from him a little bit, and I've seen how he's growing his brand, and I'm trying to do some similar things like this. I'm a student, let's say, of what he's telling us, but I look at what he's always kind of said, you know, like in the social space, it's free to a degree, but I think social within the food service space is still, it's still new in a way. Like it's been around for probably 20 some years now, but it's still new in a sense of the ability to get the message out fast, frequent, and where people live today, where your audience lives on social. And we look at the numbers in Canada, where 95% Canadians are on social media every day. We're beating you guys out.
Damn.
We're 95% Canadian. We have nothing else to do. 95% of Canadians, that tells you how bad TV is. 95% of Canadians are on social media every day. And they're on social media 2 hours and 54 minutes, I think it is, per day. It's almost the same amount of time as the Godfather movie.
Wow.
Every day they're spending that much time on social media. So when you look at our space in food service, hello. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a channel into them, people. And then when I look at marketing today, saying, hey, be yourself and be raw and authentic and don't have to worry about being polished, use your phones. It's like, does, is the math adding up? It sounds pretty inexpensive. It's just a commitment, like you've said.
Yeah.
So I get those two a lot, and that's because I preach about them all the time.
That's super interesting. Those metrics for Canada are insane. I mean, you think about 3 hours times, like, I don't know, just times that by 3 hours a day times 10 years. Like,
that's, never thought that.
That's a couple years of your life that you're looking at social media. Like, that's insane.
That is insane. Right. But that's that. Well, one thing, and, you know, due respect for where I live, we find there, like, and I think that's what I like. There's Canadian, you know, posts and influencers and stuff like this that are interesting, and they're very good at what they do. But man, is the world interesting out there.
Yeah.
It is interesting. And just like the more crazier it is, the more that we, I think we want to go to social to find the crazy ones and find what's going on out there and to learn. I think also the ability, we call it edutainment on the shows. That's why we do the shows these way, but is I think the more people want to learn something, have a little fun, get the dopamine and enjoy it, but at the same time, learn a little.
Yeah.
But we tried that model, but I think Canadians are big learners. We want to learn more. You know, we want that secret sauce. That's who we are. We always try to figure out, okay, well, let's figure this thing out. Right. And I think that's what's caused us to be successful in what we do. But I see that also. But that's probably, there's probably multiple, you know, seasonal and, you know, like when it's minus 40 out, we don't like to go outside too often.
That'll
so it might be, you know, like that might cause those numbers to go up too. But it is staggering that restaurants don't leverage that. I do have I have a couple other things here I want to share with you though.
Yeah.
I do have to ask you this question, but then I got to get into one more. I got to write it down, writing my notes down because I forget, because I get excited about this. How important, and I'm sorry that we stuck a lot on social tonight.
That's all good.
I want to talk a lot about around live. That was the question that we had with these gentlemen at their restaurant yesterday. And I've done a lot of live stuff on TikTok and I've done, well, this show's live to tape. How important is live content today? In maybe in our industry in a sense.
Man, I feel like there's definitely somebody who would grill me on this and like feel differently, but like I don't think it's that important. I think if used in the right way, it's a way to differentiate yourself. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I think your stories can do just as much in terms of like giving something that sits at the top or becomes a part of someone's flow as they're already, you know, scrolling through and that's what comes up. More so than like, so-and-so is live right now, go check it out. I don't think in the restaurant and food space that that's going to be like a huge piece, but I think you could, like, taking that idea a step further is like when we go live, I'm making this up, but it's like, we're talking to our chef in the kitchen and we're asking about tonight's, like, you could create a program around it, similar to what you're doing with this podcast, but like you give people a reason to understand what live means and why it's different than anything else. And you make that unique to who you are. And like that could be really powerful, but I think just the feature itself is not like an out of the box, like gonna change the game or anything like that. But this, I think it's too, to like what you were talking about with social and like it's still being relatively new to the industry is like, and as a marketer, I think it's what makes it challenging is like, it can be viewed as it's viewed as like the two ends of the spectrum. It's like, hey, it can't be that hard. I have a bartender that can post for me and they put up posts and, you know, it is what it is. We know we need to be there, but I just put up posts. And then the other side of the spectrum is every time we post, like we don't get anywhere close to as many likes as this other brand that's in our, you know, city that has been spending however many years building this following and building the content and like all these different things. And I feel like as a marketer, that's when you have to get back to the things that are very boring to talk about, which are like, but we have to grow this over time. And if we measure this, then we're going to understand, are we growing? Yeah. What's helping it grow the fastest? And it's all that middle ground before you create something that's like truly standing out and has like a, you know, a really strong engagement rate and like all these different things. But
it's a marathon. It's a marathon, eh?
It's a marathon.
It's a marathon.
It's the work. Everything requires work. Like, there's no silver bullet. We've been looking for one forever.
Well, I find like in the podcast space, when people are like, okay, I'll do a podcast, and they'll do 6 or 7, 8 shows, and they hope that they're Joe Rogan after 8.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it is a marathon. Like, it took us, I think we're just over 1,500 shows right now.
Wow. I've got you, man.
And, but that's a commitment beyond commitments. Like, we're doing more shows in 1 week than most do in a month. And, you know, like, and that's a commitment. And all the reasons why I told you earlier, but is that, and also it gets also addictive as well, yeah, right? You want to interview all these amazing people. You want to learn so much. And I take it as my learning. Like, I, you know, you want to learn every night, host a podcast to get amazing people like yourself, yeah, Justin, on, and they teach you and you record it and make a podcast. That's the way I look at it. But, find all this stuff in social. If you're going to post something, don't look at it and go, okay, well, it didn't work after 3 posts. Or like you said, you know, you post it once and okay, well, we'll post again. That, okay, well, they're not working. Well, it's a marathon. It's a plan. It's a stretch. It's a commitment. You have to be in it for the long haul. You're not going to get the viral overnight unless you're like, it's like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
But you're not getting, it takes time. And I think the systems are set up that way. I think Instagram and LinkedIn are set up that way. Until you get into the algorithms, I think they're set up that way for you to, you know, it kind of weeds out the good ones.
Yeah, it's like prove your commitment.
Exactly. Yeah. Prove yourself. Right.
Yeah.
So I got another 2 more.
Yeah.
UGC. How important is user generated content in restaurants today? That's another question.
I'm a huge fan of UGC. I feel like it's such an awesome moment to like get content, of course, like from people who love your brand, but it's also such an amazing opportunity to like, to just show appreciation to that guest, yeah, like, and to build a relationship that's a bit deeper with that guest. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been with, you know, friends who've said like, oh, I took a picture of my meal over at so-and-so and like, they reposted it. I was so happy to see that. They shot me a note. They're like those things go a long way and like build a very loyal kind of like customer. And I think it's cool content. When I see it, I think, you know, it's interesting, of course, like, yeah, if it's a really shitty picture, like you probably don't want to push that one just because it was UGC, but I love it, man. I think it's powerful. I think it's powerful.
I think every restaurant needs to, I think that also what it does is, and why I say this, I really learned about UGC was when I had Crumble Cookies.
Oh, nice.
This person on the show, and he was talking about the power of their UGC model that they have where 5 o'clock on Tuesdays, I feel like I'm advertising for them every time I tell someone this. 5 o'clock on Tuesdays is their cookie drop, and they drop the new cookies, and then people line up for the cookie on Tuesday, and then they get the cookie and they run in their car and they sit down and they record a video of doing a cookie review, and then they post, and then they said like it's almost they don't have to do anything now because it's so powerful that all this UGC content is being created. And I'm just like, you know, steal it. It's a great idea. Like it's brilliant. Like do something like it or do, you know, steal it or do something like it. But that is so powerful though. Like that's crazy. And you know, like the gentleman that I was meeting last night, I'm like you, and I saw their product, and I have to say this with most respect to all the other people. Well, there's 2 pizza places that now I'm a huge fan in Edmonton. One is CPK. Phenomenal pizza. Phenomenal. Second one is the place that we had last night. And I have to tell you, unbelievable crust. Like it was probably the best crust I've ever had. It brought back memories from the, you know, the Pizza Hut crust way back when Pizza Hut was
different. Don't take me there. That's too
good. Yeah, it was just that pizza crust, like golden, you know, that gold oil, olive oil crust, crispy gold. Oh, it was so good. It was a beautiful product. Get people talking about it. Like you've already won so many check marks on the list for good content is you have phenomenal product. Yeah. Now just get people to tell people about it. Not that you have to even get people. And I say that is that influence them to do that. ask right. them to do
that. Right.
You know, like I don't, like I said, you know, I knew a restaurateur down in Calgary that he had his staff come to every table. Here's a tactic for you, Justin, you can use with your clients. He had everyone, at the, when someone goes to a table in a bar, this is kind of like an Irish pub. He would come up to them and they would say, "Could I start you with a drink?" And everyone would sit there for like, you know, 30 seconds to a minute going, what am I going to have? And then they'd be like, what's the special? Or, you know, like what, you know, they would ask that. Like it would just be like, oh. So he sold Guinness. So what he said to everyone, his servers, is when you go up to the table, ask them for a Guinness. Would you like to start with a Guinness? Just that keyword, that brand association, those keywords and stuff. Yep. That's all they said. He increased his, I think Chris might be watching this. He knows this story too. He increased his Guinness sales tremendously by his servers coming up and saying, "Can I start you with a Guinness?" Okay. I thought that was incredible. Right. And that's just that little slightness. Right. So I said to the gentleman last night, well, what if you go up to the people coming to the table saying, "Hey, make sure you post about us tonight. Here's the hashtag." And that's it. Like you just, that's the culture. You know how you go into 7-Eleven, everyone says, "Hello." Well, why isn't it like post about us? Right. Like just
it's a little long. It's a little
long. Right. Like keep that. You know, keep people getting people to post for you and creating content for you. I think it's
I think it's such a good point, Jay. I think what you're getting at too is like there's intention behind it. And yeah, I think when somebody on the outside would look at Crumble, they would be like, "Man, this is crazy. Like people just do these reviews and that's wild." But like there's Crumble reacting to that and responding to that and realizing the value in it and then being intentional of like, okay, let's consider this as we go forward and how we build on that. Like that intention is there and it's often unseen or like not acknowledged by others that are outside and they think like, "Man, that's lucky for them. That's pretty cool that works." Well, it's like, there's intention. Ask for a Guinness.
Exactly. Well, I said, you know, like if you have some people that do that, or even be like you said, be true and authentic. Post a video and say, "Hey guys, you know what we're doing? We're trying to grow our social channels here at our restaurant. And we want you to tell us how we're doing by posting videos when you come in our restaurant about your experience and how you like our pizzas." Like just be honest with people. Like some people are like, "You know what? We're going to do that. I didn't know we were supposed to do that." Or they want us to do that. We're going to do that for them. Right. It's amazing when you just be so transparent in what you do that people will stand beside you and help you out. I think it's incredible.
Yeah.
One more here. I'm going to give you a tip. Not a tip. I don't know if I give you a tip. Oh my God. Wrong words, Jay. I love when I talk with like marketing geniuses. I love it. Here's the thing.
Don't call me genius. Don't call me.
I want to say this. Oh, Chris says he's out for dinner, bro. Thanks, Chris. eat your dinner and stop watching my show. Is that I want to say this is, this is a tactic that I want every restaurateur that's going to listen to this show. And you can steal this, Justin.
Okay.
The number one marketing gift I find for restaurants today, this is a gift. We already talked about the power of podcast earlier, but the gift that is given to you almost as anywhere you want. Go to TikTok, type in food trends, and you will find what you should have on your menu.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh. I promise you. You will be able to find what you need to do for marketing. Use Tik, just like I use podcast or I use third-party delivery as a marketing channel. I look at TikTok as the gift of marketing. And there are so many ideas on TikTok that are, and you can look at the viewers, the likes, you can, you know, if you want to vet it that way. But it is a gift to marketers is TikTok. And you can, the best thing is you don't have to sit there. You can search based on the topic. Look at pizzas, look at people doing pizzas or pizza reviews or whatever they're doing. TikTok is a gift to marketers that are marketing, not only our industry or anything. Yeah. It really is because first of all, it's created by people that you're trying to get to. So you just have to do what they're doing. That's brilliant.
Yep.
It's pure. It's authentic. It's video based. It's on social. They're telling you how many people like it. You can read the comments that people say about the post that you're going to steal the idea from. So they're giving you ideas.
Love it.
There you go. I'll give that to you. It's used TikTok as a marketing gift.
For so much of marketing too, right? Like, I mean, I used to always tell my team, like, don't ever feel like you have to start completely from square one. It's like there's something out there that was a great example of what we're trying to do. There was something out there that was kind of close to what we were trying to do, but now we're taking it a different direction. And like, you never have to start completely at square one. It's like there's an opportunity to build off of that. And that's such a great example too of it. Or how people are using ChatGPT these days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, there's
building off of stuff like that. But
you know, they said is that I think the best line that I heard, I think a couple of months ago, is that might have been on social that I saw this, was someone said, you know, AI isn't going to replace humans. AI with humans will replace humans. So nice. You get to know how to use AI because it'll replace you if you don't use it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are using, I did a show with a recruiter, and she said, use AI gains AI. That was really cool. Looking for jobs, people say, well, you know, I can't get past the gatekeep and stuff because they're using AI. She says, well, then use AI against it. Like, there's ways you can use AI against AI. And I thought that was brilliant. And then I saw last night how, did you see this last night? I don't know if on TikTok, that there is now where TikTok, this blew my mind. I'm going to try to say it properly. AI now is, because AI is not perfect yet, right? Like it's got its gaps, right? As it's learning.
Yeah.
What it's doing now is that, and I forget the website, is that, or whatever the app is or whatever it is AI now is hiring humans to teach it.
No way.
Yes. It's realizing and paying you to do this somehow. So go figure that, digest that tonight while you're looking. Is AI now is coming to humans to teach it more on the gaps that it has. It has the ability to do that, right?
And I feel like that's what we've all been doing by using it too.
Like exactly. We're teaching it, but then it's going, okay, you guys are forgetting. I don't know this space, right? I don't know this area. I don't know how to screw in a light bulb. It's hiring you. It's hiring you to teach it now.
I don't like that.
How nuts is that, Justin? That's nuts. Me last night was like, that. Ooh, swipe. Get rid of this.
Yeah. That's true.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, that's nuts. That's
absolutely. So, last question for you. What is your favorite marketing campaign ever?
Man.
What have you seen? Someone's done Nike, Google, or someone local, restaurant, whatever it is. What was the number one you sit back and remember? I have one. I'll share that after yours.
Yeah.
But what's your favorite?
Man.
Apple.
I know. I feel like Apple is like such a go-to. Like,
I know.
It's good Apple. Though. It is really good. Man, what stands, dude? Honestly, like, all right.
Do you know what stand out?
I'm gonna say this is ridiculous because like I haven't thought about it in a while, but it's like always comes up in conversations. And for me, it's like it's the Got Milk campaign. And
Okay.
It's like literally, I remember reading like a breakdown and kind of like analysis of it. And it's like, it's literally a campaign talking about the absence of milk, but they're selling milk. And it's just like so beautifully done. I feel like it was so simple in terms of how they brought it to life. And I think it stands the test of time. Like, I feel like people can still look at that and just respect it for what it is and like really see the value in it. I love it, but man, yeah, I'm trying to think of some others, but what's yours?
I've got two. I've got an older one. Well, there's some older ones, you know, like there were some good ones in the 80s. I'll tell you, I don't know. They're popping up on my TikTok lately is some old 80 ads. And there's some I love, you know, I like the Dijon one. Remember that one?
No, you know, I don't remember that.
We'll look that up. That's a
keeper. You're giving me all this homework. I need to like
go. I know you got homework. I love the eat chicken sign where the cow has got the paintbrush in his hat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it says, you know, eat chicken, not beef, whatever, something like this, or like eat chicken, and then it's a cow with a paintbrush. That is one of my most favorite. But the other one said that I saw similar. It's on a billboard. It says, in need of a graphic, we need a graphic artist or something. And yeah, it's written like crappy and stuff on like some sort of screen, like a computer. Like it's, we're in need of a, we need to hire or something. We're hiring a graphic artist or something. Like it's hilarious. I was looking at that. Those are my two.
That's fun.
Those are my two because like there was so much creativity behind it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's some stuff on LinkedIn, you can go to like, there's some crazy things I saw on LinkedIn, like, you know, marketing ideas and stuff like this that you can see and join some groups. There's some crazy, amazing, knowledgeable. I love when they use the space into the campaign.
Yeah.
I think that is brilliant. Like we're seeing some really stuff over in Europe right now that's powerful, where they're using like the buses, the subway and stuff like this into the concept. I love that. I love when they use the space into the marketing.
I agree, man. It's impossible to miss. Like it's just impossible to miss. It's so good. So good.
So well, you'll have to do your homework tonight or tomorrow. Don't think about that AI thing because that messes you up.
I'm not gonna think
that will mess you up for life.
I'm looking up the Dijon ad though, for sure.
Yes, it was where they pull up and they say great coupon. There's no Dijon. Well, like it's probably mid 80s. I'm just aged myself. But anyways, I do want to thank you, Justin, for joining us tonight to have a really good conversation around marketing. I think we need more of you in the industry. And where can people reach out to you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, man. I really appreciate the conversation too. My website is bigtailwind.com. My email is justin@bigtailwind.com. But yeah, feel free to reach out. Anybody that needs help, always love just helping solve problems. So even if it's just kind of talking through an idea or talking through something, always want to help. But I want to thank you too for having me on. Really enjoyed the conversation as well. 1500 episodes, like, man, you should be so damn proud. Like that's crazy. That's a lot of podcast episodes.
It's a lot of, well,
it's a lot of help to the industry too, man.
Well, so, you know, there's a lot of mistakes too. And I'll tell everyone that's going to watch us and listen to this, because I did it on Sean's show. Well, I was brought into one of his shows and someone asked me what was my like holy moment in doing podcasting. And I said, it was about, well, I'm going to say 2 years ago. I was doing a show in my studio, different studio I have today, but it was warm in there and it was really cozy. It was a cold day and Red Bull had, I used to have all like his Red Bull sponsor, like the tables were just filled with Red Bull. Like every inch was a Red Bull can. And I must have had a ton. So I think it was coming off the Red Bull high, crashing. And I was on a show with someone, and I apologize whoever it was. I don't know who it was. But I fell asleep.
I fell asleep.
It was like when, you know, you listen to those people at night that put you to sleep, like, you know,
McConaughey.
All those guys were like, hey guys, you know, like talk to you and stuff, and they put you to sleep. Well, they did on the podcast. I was like,
no.
And then the lady's like, well, how did you know that you fell asleep? I said, well, the guests had to wake me up.
So, oh my God.
So I have done enough shows to do a lot of mistakes, and that's where I learn from the shows, is the mistakes that I do. It's not the things that I've done right that I learn a lot from. But it's been a 1500 show. We might even be more than that now that I know how many shows we've been doing, but we've done a lot and we've done it from crazy areas of the world. I've shot shows from Kiev during the war, like still the war is on, but during the war at the beginning. We've done shows in New Zealand. We've done Australia, lots in England. England's fun because we were doing it. You had to time it so it wasn't too late for them. Tons in the United States. Tons. Like, I swear, everyone in the Eastern Coast, there better be pictures of me while you drive down the highways in the east part of the United States, because I have met everyone in all the different states on the eastern side of the United States. It's been great, all the way to Florida, and had tons of shows there. I've done, I don't think I've ever done a show from Mexico yet. Yeah, it's cool because I'm like one of the highest up in the country and location wise podcasters on the planet, probably. Maybe there's a few in Alaska. But yeah, I'm up here in, it's kind of cool, but yeah, we've had a great time. We've had some fun. We've learned a lot. I tell you, I can write a book. I definitely write a book now. And then I also produce, I think we're producing now, 7 other shows.
Damn, man.
That's awesome. We just rolled one out today. Well, we rolled it. It's a soft launch. We have another one. It's going out on May 7th. We're dropping 2 shows, not episodes, 2 shows, May 7th.
Okay.
And I don't know if anyone's ever done that before. So we're dropping 2 new podcasts on May 7th. And we're the one that we rolled the tape will be one of those, but we had to because we're QR coding it. With the posters and stuff. So yeah. So we've got a lot of shows out there, and I love watching people talk about, I love watching people have their own shows. First of all, Richard White, he's a good friend, and he just rolled out a show. I was his first guest on it. Nice. This week, I think it was, we recorded this week or last week. And I apologize if it, I don't even know what day it is. And we rolled it out, and Richard was on my show like tons of times. And we did it. We called it, and I tell you this, I tell everyone, it's called TikTok versus food service. So he would go find a TikTok show of a recipe and stuff. And then he'd have to try to make it so restaurants could use it. And it was hilarious.
That's awesome.
And then he calls me and he goes, I'm starting my own podcast. I'm like, oh, finally. He rolled his out recently. And it's called the Richard White 86 with Richard White. I think the 86 show with Richard White. And I'm just proud of him. And I'm proud of everyone that can get into this space. And I think every restaurant needs one. And we'll go from there. But I just want to thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? It's been a great night. And Dominic, you missed another one.
Come on, Dominic.
I know, Dominic. We got to talk. You know, I'm starting to see a little bit of a theme here. We might have to talk about it. The drinking may have to slow down a little, you know. No, this would have been a 3-hour show if he was here, because I'm sure he would have a lot of questions too. My God. He always has the good questions. I say he does the great questions, and he also introduces people, so I don't mess up your name. and I don't fall asleep. But
thanks, man.
And to everyone else, thanks again for joining us tonight on the Late Night Restaurant Show. We're back again next week, and if you listen to all this, we're up into the other, we're not a podcast, by the way, but we're up in the other spots of the podcast channels everywhere. Just Google us, we're there. The other thing is, make sure you go to the National Restaurant Association show, May 18th to 21st in Chicago. So there you go. And I just want to thank you again, Justin. Thanks to everyone that listens to all our stuff. Don't believe in us, because there's way more smarter people than I am, like Justin, and thanks again. All the best.
Thanks, man.
Take it easy.